I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the business technology show where we chat to companies doing interesting things in the tech space in South Africa and across the continent. And my guests today are from DigiCloud Africa, Google Cloud's enablement partner in Africa. Gregory McLennan is CEO of DigiCloud, and Louis van Schalkwyk is head of technical operations. It's good to see you both again. Welcome to Tech Central.
Thank you.
So in episode one of this series, guys, we had a look at DigiCloud and what it does and its relationship with Google and Google Cloud specifically. In episode two, we looked at your reseller partner model and what it involves and how you work with resellers. And I do encourage anyone listening to the show, if you have missed those two episodes, please do go and have a listen to them. They're really, really interesting and worthwhile. In this episode, though, we're going to have a look at what Google Cloud solutions mean for end-user customers in Africa, be they in industry or government or in education. Gregory, let me start with you. Firstly, why Google Cloud? I think companies have tons of choice when it comes to cloud solutions and enterprise software. What is the Google advantage?
And you're so right. You know, before COVID, it was very much like, are you going to move to cloud? What does that look like? Then COVID sort of came in and was the greatest sales tactic for any hyperscaler because everyone moved into the cloud. And now that cloud journey's happened and most customers in the sort of the corporate space, whatever, on a cloud, and even your enterprise customers are typically on two clouds.
Yeah.
And I think everyone sort of learnt lessons going into the cloud, you know, was it cheaper? Was it better? Was it faster? Whatever the story was that was your goal. And we're now at the stage where many customers that we speak to, regardless of what platforms, whether they're in the cloud, partially in the cloud, hybrid, multi, whatever the story is, but a consistent thread we hear and a consistent thread we push is, are you using best of breed?
Mm-hmm.
This should be nothing that stops you as a customer working with a cloud vendor for a specific workload or workloads, but getting the absolute best. You know, if I think about a company that's, you know, sort of in warehousing, whatever the story is, your accounting package vendor shouldn't determine what your warehouse management system is, because that's a very unique, special thing. So if you think about that within the business context, you know, what is it that Google does so well? And when we talk about Google and best of breed, then we talk about things like data and analytics. And if you think Google and data and how they work with data around the world, we talk about security. We talk about AI, generative AI, and others, and machine learning. That's where Google is really very strong. And when we're dealing with companies that are big into containerizations, if you think your e-commerce platforms and that, when they want to be able to spin up many, many, many sites over Black Friday, right, and then straight after Black Friday, they want to spin them all down because everyone's returning everything. That's also where Google plays very well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak to customers and when it comes to like what a customer is looking for, within your cloud journey, there's optimization financially and just from a technical perspective, but you want to be in a position where you are using the best of breed and you're getting the most out of your teams because the tools they're using do the job in the best possible way. And that's where Google plays very well.
Louis, let me bring you in here. How can companies use Google Cloud and how are they using Google Cloud to innovate and grow their businesses? I don't know if you can mention specific examples. If you can't, maybe just talk about companies in specific industries that might be doing interesting things.
I think a lot of companies can benefit from Google's investments into innovation. So if you think of something like Google Kubernetes Engine or Kubernetes, that's something developed and started by Google, the open source that a lot of big companies and enterprises today use. And that's something that Google spearheaded. A lot of the generative AI and machine learning that a lot of companies are implementing now, that's also an area where Google is directly invested into that research to make those products and tools and services available. So there's a lot of innovation coming out from Google based on their research and development that they then make available to customers and consumers to deploy in their own products and services.
So Louis, you've mentioned Kubernetes on a number of occasions in this podcast series. What is Kubernetes and why is it important to end-user customers?
Duncan, good question. I think a simple way to explain what Kubernetes is, if we look at the history of computing, in the beginning, if you wanted a server, you would order the physical server, you'd install the operating system, you'd install your applications on it, and you'd manage the physical hardware. Then came virtualization, you'd install a hypervisor on physical hardware, and then you can manage multiple virtual machines on one hypervisor, right? But you still had to manage the individual operating systems mm-hmm. of all the virtual machines that ran on it.
But you'd use one server.
But you use one server, mm-hmm. yes. Kubernetes allows you to orchestrate containers. And containers is effectively the next evolution of virtualization. So instead of virtualizing the entire virtual machine, so from the operating system to the ground up, you can start with a base operating system, and then you just containerize the environment that your application requires. So it's essentially just a way to get more performance out of your hardware. It's a more efficient way to run your applications, and it gives you a way to scale up and down a lot quicker and basically just get more compute power out of your available hardware, mm-hmm. which when you run it in the cloud directly impacts your cost.
So you reduce your costs.
Yeah. So okay. Kubernetes is the orchestration layer that takes care of running those Docker containers.
Okay.
And I think further to that, so it's a great way to reduce cost, but when you need the power, mm-hmm. so like Black Friday, mm-hmm. suddenly you have a million people accessing your website, you're able to spin up as many containers as possible because now you're in Google. So you can. It'll cost more, but if you've got a million people on your website buying stuff, hope is that you're selling more.
Yep.
So very much it's not just a cost-saving mechanism, it's a mechanism for creating real scale. And it you know, anyone in fintech or e-commerce, that would be very beneficial. Mm-hmm.
The majority of large applications out there nowadays would run a form of Kubernetes and Docker containers under the hood.
So Louis, maybe just walk us through what moving to Google Cloud actually means for companies. Many companies, I guess, will be moving for the first time from on-premises to a cloud-based solution. What does this actually mean for their productivity, their ability to collaborate, and also for their security?
Okay. Thanks, Duncan. It's a good question. Again, if we look at the old days, right, how IT infrastructure and security used to run, companies were very focused on keeping their firewall rules up to date and making sure nobody can get into the network. And then pretty much the attention was focused around keeping the perimeter secure. But moving to the cloud also changes the dynamics of the services that you deploy. And it's not so much about keeping the perimeter or the firewall to your network secure anymore. Mm-hmm. The security mindset, the way to think about security changes quite significantly when you adopt and deploy Google Cloud or cloud in general resources. And instead, you need to secure the identities that access those resources, and as well as controlling what level of access those resources have to the resources within your organization. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not enough anymore to just secure your perimeter and assume that anyone inside your perimeter is authorized and secure. So the ease of spinning up infrastructure in cloud has given companies a lot of power, the ability to just spin up how many ever machines they need to achieve or set up whatever workload is fantastic, but that also comes with risk, mm-hmm. right? So you need to make sure that your landing zone, is what we refer to in Google Cloud, is set up correctly with the right security constraints, perimeters, the right guardrails in place in order to make sure that your technical teams are set up in a way that they don't ever put your company data at risk. Mm-hmm. So as part of that, you would want to implement policies to make sure that, for example, people in a specific team are not authorized or allowed to share data in any cloud resource externally. You want to have monitoring in place to make sure that if you pick up that machine has been shared with a public IP address has been assigned, you want to pick up that has happened and rectify it automatically. So your whole security posture changes quite substantially. And that's where the experience of a seasoned Google Cloud reseller would come in and obviously help customers navigate that path to make sure they get the benefit of immediate scale that hyper cloud providers offer, but they also do that in a secure way, because they don't put their company data at risk.
A good example we see, unfortunately too often, is the marketing department. I can't think of an entity that doesn't use Google AdWords. Mm-hmm. That everyone does. And the bigger the organization, the bigger the spend. But we find even in the biggest organizations, the people within the marketing department using it are logging in, not with an @bank, insurance company, healthcare provider name, whatever.
@Gmail.
at Gmail, not managed by the organization. And those companies can be spending $1 million a month, and they've got all of their ads sitting in a BigQuery instance managed under a Gmail account. And when the Gmail account leaves your organization because the person has resigned, then there's a bun fight to find out where on earth they're going to get it in. So there's, even if your plans aren't to specifically use Google, you know, when Lou's speaking about landing zones, that should be top of mind, because even if your marketing department is using it, or you've got your website, it's got location data, and that's going into Google Maps, where's that being managed? Mm-hmm. That's also a Gmail account, someone using Maps APIs. So I think there are so many amazing technologies that people love to use, and best of breed stuff. But you need to be able to bring it in to your organization. And like Louis said, that's what our partners specialize in.
Yeah, yeah.
Companies might not always realize, companies might not always realize that, you know, they're using Google already within their production environments, but often that is used through a consumer account, like a Gmail account or an unmanaged account, all that data belongs to the individual, right? Not the organization. So something we spend quite a bit of time on is helping companies and resellers to set up what we call landing zones. A landing zone essentially takes a company's domain name. We take ownership of the domain name in the Google environment. You create a Google account on that, and you give access to that to the end customer. So the end customer will have ownership of their domain and the Google identities on that that they manage. And then with that, we can help companies to migrate consumer accounts where they have data attached to it, unmanaged accounts, and we can migrate those accounts to become managed so that the company manages and owns the account. And
there
the data
are tools
in it.
To do that, I presume.
Yes. So it's admin intensive, but a lot less admin intensive than not doing it and then realizing the person with a Gmail account has left your company and you can't get access to it.
Just want to hop on the security issue just for a moment longer, because it is so important in 2024. How do you work with your resellers in terms of almost creating a grounding in security? Because almost in 2024, we need to be doing everything secure by design. You spoke in our last episode about all the hoops that resellers have to jump through to become resellers. Is security and understanding the concept of security and working with those end user clients to secure their operations in the cloud a key component of what you do here?
Yes, in that it's, so if you're looking at, if I just give two examples in terms of products, so within Google Workspace, my team works very closely with our workspace partners to make sure that they know, you know, the bare minimum that needs to be done, technically speaking, to make it work. But also within a Google Workspace, there's a whole change management process, and part of that has to be things like two-step authentication. You know, in the simplest form, you know, Workspace is secure by design in that it's encrypted from here to there and everywhere else. But within your organization, the various steps that your reseller will take, it's almost checklisted. Let's make 100% sure that everything is set up the way it's supposed to be set up. Especially if you're moving from another provider, you're not a brand new customer, but you're moving from something to another. You don't want to lose any of that in the translation. And then when it comes to Google Cloud, just like Louis said, that landing zone and having cloud identity tied to an organization is so pivotal. It cannot be in a situation where Gmail accounts are what's doing it. And that's also why we've given the example. And it's just no hate towards marketing. We love marketing. But within the marketing space, all of these things always start out as a little spend, a little amount. And it sort of just slowly grows and grows and grows. And then what we also find is that within the marketing space, the people that are running the marketing department, they are the Google contact. And obviously, they don't think Google Cloud. They're thinking Google Search, AdWords, whatever it's called at this point in time. So they want to own that relationship. The problem is that data sitting there and the security around how it is you're accessing it and how it's managed. So our partners, when it comes to landing, absolutely, that's quite literally the starting point, is the identity and the management of the company and the identity around that. It's a very much cornerstone.
So it needs to move from marketing to IT.
For the management of that, yes, 100%. Right. And even then, in your bigger organization, probably not even IT, it's probably like security, and then under them, IT, and then, yes.
So Google has got very clearly defined best practices, right, for managing security. You can, but you're almost guaranteed whenever there's a security incident, mm-hmm. they didn't follow best practices. Mm-hmm. So a big part of what we do and the resellers we do is just make sure that companies implement best practices as defined by Google.
Follow these rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is even a specialization in security. So we have resellers in our stable that are specialized in security. And to get that specialization is one of the toughest specializations to get because, you know, part of obtaining a specialization to be able to tell customer stories, except you never tell a security customer story because that's secure, insecure in itself. So, and we have partners within our stable that work with other partners, and these partners are security specialists. So we make sure that customers know that that's also available.
Which sectors have been early movers in Africa to Google Cloud? Are there particular industries that are more amenable to moving to cloud-based solutions? And if so, who?
So, and maybe it's not just industry, but I'll talk about some examples. Mm-hmm. So retailers and e-commerce, that sort of whole platform, openly and honestly, you know, if you're in e-commerce and you're putting your stuff in AWS, it doesn't make logical sense just, you know, considering who the owner of AWS is. So that generally starts a discussion. But the tools are so easy to use that when startups, so when you talk about retail and that, but startups within retail space, so e-commerce, fintech, whatever the story is, they love Google tools. Mm-hmm. Easy to use, easy to deploy, easy to scale, and then secure. So we find that what I determine as a digital native, so that's somebody who doesn't just use technology in a business. So someone who just uses technology in a business is like, oh, I've got a problem and I'll use an ERP to fix it. A digital native in my mind is someone who leverages technology to get the very best of it, that they basically focus their business around the technology. So think of a Takealot or someone like that, you know, and how they're able to scale and grow. And obviously Takealot, someone who uses Kubernetes to the fullest extent. So those would be the sorts of business. So retailers and your digital native, those startup guys. And then I think the other one would be businesses that want to scale. Mm-hmm. So what we've also seen is, and there might be digital natives, there might not be, but as new technologies and those things come in, businesses that want to adopt them want to, once again, use best of breed. And many of those solutions that are best of breed are data analytics. So if your business is, if your business has data in it, mm-hmm. are you using it? And are you making money from it? So if you think about industries like insurance or banking or anything like that, where they have massive amounts of data, Google is a fantastic option for them to do something with it and hopefully monetize that in some way. Now, monetize that doesn't mean you're selling the data. What it does mean is that you're getting full value from it, that your customers are getting more from you. Mm-hmm. So what we find is with Google's long history within data and within AI, the number of discussions we're having around this for any business, regardless of size, everyone wants to have the discussion, but we're sort of now reaching the point where it's like, okay, the hype's died down. So Gen AI is like, okay, we're calming down a bit now. Now we can look at, okay, what's a real world thing that I would want to do with it that makes sense? And just as a very South African thing, mm-hmm. like we live in a country with some of the highest unemployment in the world. You know, we're not looking to take jobs away. If anything, we're looking for ways that technology can be used to create more mm-hmm. jobs. So I think there was also this wave of when it came to Gen AI, it's like, am I going to get rid of my call center? Am I going to get rid of my whatever it is? And the answer is, that can't be the answer. Can't be the answer in Africa. Not just mm-hmm. South Africa, it can't be the answer in Africa. So now that the hype has gone, the first 2 years of excitement is over, people are now looking, okay, but where's it going to add real value? And this is where Google's starting to come to the fore, because Google's been doing real value things for years now, given their storied history with it.
Yeah, yeah. And Lou, of course, the other sector where Google Cloud has a big focus is in education. We touched on it in a previous episode in this series, but maybe just a recap of the solutions that Google Cloud offers in that space and why it's important in the African context.
Okay. So Google makes the Google for Education suite of products available to all authorized or registered education providers, so schools, universities. It comes with a set of communication and collaboration tools, if you're familiar with Gmail, mm-hmm. But this is in a controlled environment. You have Drive, Docs, And you can make all these tools available to staff and students at no cost to the institution. It can be rolled out, and you give students access to the tools that they need to work, you know, and get exposure to the tools. When they move up to university, chances are the university will also have those tools deployed, so they're already familiar with that software suite that they'll use to further their studies. In addition to the free version, there's also paid for add-ons, which unlocks additional functionality when it comes to teaching and learning.
Okay. Good. Gregory, you work through a network of resellers. We've ascertained this. But what does this mean for end-user customers? Maybe someone who's new to Google Cloud or considering Google Cloud for the first time. What does this reseller network look like? What can end-user customers expect once they've signed a contract with, I presume, one of the resellers rather than with you directly? What does it actually mean for them, and how do they work with that reseller? How does that reseller work with you, and how do you work with Google?
100%. So, and you're 100% right. The customer will sign an agreement with one of our resellers. Mm-hmm. Where a customer sees benefit from DigiCloud is, are you with the right reseller? And I know we said it in a previous episode, but you know, if your reseller is selling you Workspace and now you want to buy data and analytics, is this the right partner for you? And we also make sure that you get the right partner in so that the partners can work together, and we're cultivating this culture across Africa that partners, and it's definitely more the mature partners. Not everyone wants to play nice, but not everyone will. But the partners want to work together and bring skills towards one another and build those relationships so that they can leverage off one another. There are so many different specializations, so many different products, and so many different aspects to it. No one partner is ever going to be all things to one customer, nor should a customer expect that. Mm-hmm. And the reason we say that is, I mean, you can get GSIs with thousands of staff, but what you need is you need hands-on keyboard experience. And what we strongly work with our partners on is like, what are you good at? What are you doing well? Data analytics, then keep doing that and keep doing it well and just do it really, really well with Google, and we'll show you how much better it can be. And then when we find that partners don't sign up to sell everything and then sell nothing, but those that sign up to add real value in something that they're doing well right now, that's where customers get real value. And then the next level of that is if they have an actual specialization. So there are very few specializations actually approved in Africa, you know, as the skills pool grows and whatnot. But when you've got an actual specialization, it's a stamp from Google directly in the US to say that you are the best of the best globally at what you do. And that's also a stamp on us as Africans to say, look what we've done. Mm-hmm. We've got the best skills in the world. And if I think about just our ecosystem as it stands now, we've got people that are specialized within workspace deployments and whatnot. But on the cloud side, we've got security specializations, infrastructure specializations, app development specializations, data analytics. And I've got a few people who are about to finalize on things like machine learning. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. That's not to say that if you're a customer and you're dealing with someone who's not a specialist, that's also okay. There's always a premium. So, you know, you have to decide where you want to play. But what I can tell you is if you're dealing with a DigiCloud partner, it's supported by DigiCloud. Mm-hmm. And the people on the DigiCloud team have got years and years and years of experience in it. And if we weren't comfortable that the partner could do the job, we wouldn't put the partner forward. Mm-hmm. I have absolute faith that the reason why we have fewer partners that we plow more effort into is that the quality of partner that comes out the other side is far better to service the African market. Mm-hmm. This is not how many partners can we get to each have one customer. This is about you want to partner with many customers, lots of experience, mm-hmm. that can really service you well.
And these reseller partners aren't always necessarily just Google Cloud focused entirely. They can have specializations, a wide range of specializations in other products, in other areas, which I suppose is helpful, Louis, because a lot of these cloud projects for companies are actually pretty significant. They're part of digital transformation projects. And for larger companies, moving from on-premises IT to cloud is quite a thing to do, and lots of moving parts involved. To what extent do DigiCloud and its partners hold customers' hands on their digital transformation projects?
Okay, good question. So DigiCloud is 100% Google-focused, so mm-hmm. we don't sell or support any other hyperscalers. However, our reseller network, they're not all the, also, you know, 100% focused on Google. A lot of our resellers also sell services from other hyperscalers, and they also have deep skills in those hyperscalers. Because if you look at end customers now, if they have a cloud migration strategy, they're unlikely, any customer of or customers of significance, right, is unlikely to go all in with one cloud vendor. They most probably, most likely have a multi-cloud strategy, and that's where our resellers come in. And with their skills in other hyperscalers as well as Google, they can make sure that the components of the customer's requirement that Google matches best is, you know, run on Google. And you're not trying to do something that Google does amazingly well in another hyperscaler. Mm-hmm. So the end customer at the end of the day gets, you know, the best of whatever the cloud hyperscalers can offer. In terms of the journey that customers, that our resellers have with customers when they migrate, it's start to end. It's from the initial discovery, understanding the infrastructure layout, understanding what the requirements are, and then whether it's, you know, migration of infrastructure, whether it's application development or modernization, all of those services across the breadth of partners are covered.
Mm-hmm. So a potential end user customer is listening to this discussion and thinking, well, actually, we're still sitting with on-premises IT. We need to consider a cloud migration. Google Cloud sounds like an excellent option. What should be their first step? Should they phone a reseller? Should they phone DigiCloud? Should they phone Google? What would you recommend?
So I think, and it is, it's interesting because any of those options works.
Okay.
But if we take a normal customer, you may find there's a Google partner, one of our partners in your business right now. Like maybe you're a Salesforce customer, or that could be your Google partner. Mm-hmm. You might have other products from other hyperscalers in your organization, and you might find that they are, you know, like Louis said. So you may have a partner in your organization already trusted, ready to go, especially the larger organizations. So, okay, now let's look at it, and you know who your Google partner is. So, and in those instances, it's a lot easier to onboard the guy who's already there, because mm-hmm. then you just sign your Google contract, not everything else. Otherwise, you are more than welcome to reach out to DigiCloud. As Louis has said, knowing your location, where in Africa you are, because also that comes with language barriers and all sorts of fun stuff. But we'll point you out to not just a partner, but, you know, a number of partners that are within your area to work with and that we have vetted, and that would make sense to you. And if you reach out to Google, chances are you're going to end up speaking to one of us anyway.
Okay.
So, I mean, the Google team works, and they've got sales guys that'll run, and they'll meet with you and everything else. But at some point, it will wind up with a reseller, as in reseller will take you forward. And I think that's super important with the skills in Africa, that you don't want to do this on your own. You want to do this with someone who's done it before. You don't want to be number one. And that's what we bring. We bring all these partners so that you know you can move forward. And if, and it happens, you don't like your partner, so you're unhappy.
Yeah.
You don't have to now go and sort of work from scratch what's going. You can contact us. We'll know exactly what's going on, because we'll see on the back end everything else, and we'll be able to help you find another partner, because that can also happen.
Okay. So you do a lot of managing of relationships as well.
It happens, but you know, more often than not, we try and get the right partner in the room, but even then, you know, many customers say we need three quotes. And because we have a number of partners, we're not in the thousand, that we don't do a race to the bottom here.
Yeah.
So we'll say, these are the three best partners based on what it is you want to do.
Okay.
So we're not going to go and get a workspace partner and try and compete against the cloud partner because you need three quotes. So that's also a value that we'll add, Yael.
Mm-hmm. I think two extra things I'd like to add.
Yes.
If you're a Google customer, right? There is no premium. There's no additional charge for you to work through a reseller or to work through distribution. The price you pay as the end customer remains the same. That's the one thing. And then the second thing is, if you're a customer and maybe you're making payment directly with a credit card for a production-based workload, that's a terrible idea. If there's ever a problem with payment on that credit card, your production workloads could be negatively impacted. So you probably want to stay clear of any credit card payments, and that's where resellers can help with.
Thanks, guys. It's been a fascinating podcast series and insights into DigiCloud and Google Cloud and how you guys go to market. I think if I was to summarize the three episodes in total, I think it would be this, that organizations can do great things with Google Cloud, but they need to work with the best partners to succeed. Gregory McLennan is CEO of DigiCloud Africa, and Louis van Schalkwyk is head of technical operations. Thank you again for sharing these great insights with the Tech Central audience.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.